It's now my honor, zechus, to call upon the president to treat us as well with the shir psicha on the Masechet.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Kalinsky, Marino Rabbeinu Schefter. It's wonderful to be in your presence and greet all of our talmidim back in the yeshiva. Just looking at the gallery of faces, I see many people returning, and it's wonderful to see you. Many people I just spoke to earlier today in orientation, and it's wonderful to see you in this context. I just wanted to briefly pick up on one of the points Schefter touched on by Rabbi Yamatze, and then address, you know, a message that I think is pertinent, especially this year, during this time, this unprecedented zman in our yeshiva. The focus for me is on the concept of bitul and relation to by Rabbi Yamatze. We know that the two psukim in the Torah of Sa'or lo yamatze b'batechem and lo yer lecha sa'or b'chol gulecha. The Gemara in Daal Amud Bet wonders, you know, what's the point of two psukim? So if you only had lo yer lecha, so you would have thought shalchai Torah ataroa aval shalcherim b'shal gavah, so you can't see your own, but you can see acherim or nachrim, and you can't see gavoa. What about if the chametz is hidden, if it's yatzmin or pikadon shal nachrim? So that's lo yamatzei b'batechem. And vice versa, you need lo yamatzei, if you had only lo yamatzei b'batechem, that's only in the house, and you know, baruch shichan ma'oros, so you need lo yer elecha b'chol gulecha. So you have two psukim, and the Gemara says clearly one, all of the hagdaros apply from one to the other. How does one not violate by Rabbi Yamatze? So as Rav Schefter said, the Gemara in Daal Amud Bet points out bitul ba'al mastagi, that bitul chametz alone would be enough to avoid by Rabbi Yamatze. Why does that avoid by Rabbi Yamatze? So Tosos mentions hefker, that what you do when you do bitul is you're mafkir the chametz. Raises all kinds of questions about hefker that the Rishonim ask. Is hefker really work this way? Are there other requirements of hefker? Do you need three people for hefker? Is hefker only a bepeh? And bitul is implied blade. And there's a whole deal in the Rishonim how to understand Shitas Rabbein Natan in relation to hefker when it comes to bitul. Rashi, as Rav Schefter quoted, says Tashpisu lo tavaru. That Ashvasa, the lay of Hiyashvasa. Lechora to reference not just to the mitzvah Tashvisu, but by Rabbi Yamatze, that Hashvasa the lay is sufficient to avoid by Rabbi Yamatze, which raises a whole other series of questions. What exactly does that mean? Why is it that Ashvasa the lay could work? What does it mean, Ashvasa the lay? That all of a sudden you have chametz in your house, it's sitting in your house, you have Ashvasa the lay. And then you're not over by Rabbi Yamatze, the chametz is still sitting in your house. So the Rishonim talk about this. Famously, the Ramban explains Rashi, and he, just to quote exact language, "Vachi kam rachmana tashpisu osa misa'or v'loyer sa'or, ela she'e be'enecha kisaruf, v'abi ro'a so'ka afra ve'efer v'lote rotze v'kiyuma." That when it comes to by Rabbi Yamatze, there's an issur, but this chametz, be'enecha kisaruf, in your eyes, it's like it's burnt, and you see it, it's ka'afra ve'efer, it's nothing, it's dirt, it's dust. Below tables of bikimo, and you don't want it to exist. And you don't want it to exist. And that alone, that ashpas, that's the ashpas of the lay, it's chametz, when you see it, you don't want it to exist. So, you don't violate by Rabbi Yamatze. The Ramban beforehand connects this to the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel, that there are two things that are not Rishus Shel Adam, but the Torah makes it, considers it as if it's in your Rishus. One is Bor Rishus Rabin, and the other is Chametz on Erev Pesach after Shei Shabbos. The Bor Rishus Rabin is not your Rishus, but your Chayav in the damages that comes into the board. as well, chametz on Erev Pesach, because it's Asur Bana, it leaves your rishus in the sense. Machlokas exactly what exactly that means. But nevertheless, it's considered yours to be over by Yamatzeh. How does one understand that? So I heard once from Rabbi Rosenzweig, Rabbi Schechter, quoted this idea in his Sefer, writing the notes on the Rav, and just alluded to it before, that when it comes to, that there's a fundamental question about Rabbi Yamatzeh, which is, what exactly is it usher? Is it usher to own the chametz? Is the problem bailus? Or is the problem having a relationship with the chametz? That the chametz is shaykh to you. That you're connected to the chametz. It's a zika. Is it bailus or is it a zika? When it comes to Tosfos speaks about bailus, so you're in the world of hefker. That if you have the chametz, it's still chametz, but you're mafker, it's no longer in your rishus, so you're not the owner. So yataroa, so shalcha yataroa, it's not yours. When it comes to Rashi, the issue is something else, as the Ramban explains. The issue isn't so much about the ownership, this is your relationship to it. And if you say that in your eyes, it is sorrow, if it is nothing, it is afra ve'efer, so for you it's nothing, so then you don't have that zika, you don't have that relationship, so there's no misur by Rabbi Yamatzeh. Now, this idea that the isur isn't ownership per se, but it's the shaykhis to you and the chametz, you know, has many ramifications. This one is the kula, that it's the ease that you can get rid of the chametz. Now, all you need to do is bit to believe, and you could cut off that tie. There's also a chumrah that applied to it. For example, what if it's chametz yidua? So we know there's a sheet in the Gaonim that the Rambam has in one of the Gersos of the Rambam that Bittul doesn't work when it comes to Chametz Yidua. Why doesn't Bittul work when it comes to Chametz Yidua? So if, again, you're in the world of Hefker, there's no reason why it shouldn't work. But if you're in the world of making it Afar Ve'efer, so there, you know, it's sitting in front of you, it's burnable, you're not burning it, you're saying it's Afar Ve'efer, but yet it's sitting right in front of you on Erev Pesach, and you're not doing anything about it, it doesn't seem like it's Afar Ve'efer to you. So if the whole idea is your relationship to it, that to you it's Afar Ve'efer, so one can understand that if it's Yidua, there could be a Svara, that Bittul wouldn't work. Similarly, if it's not in front of you, the Gemara speaks about if it's in the boar, And the Rambam paskins that if it's in the pit, it's like a mapolet. You don't need to bring the ladder, and you're able to mavatel it belay. Why are you able to be mavatel belay? So a similar thing in just the opposite case, meaning here it's not in front of you. There you don't need to do to go to extraordinary lengths in order to get it out. Off of Afer, to you, it's nothing. Is sufficient. That's one area to consider when it comes to Bayar Bayamatzi, which is the type of chametz, whether it's Yidua, where it's located, whether Bittul would apply to it or need to apply to it or not. Another issue is competing bialim. Do you have to be the owner in order to violate a Bayar Bayamatzi? So the parish, the Gemara talks about the question of the parent stira between the Baraitot and the Psukim, that on the one hand, Shalchai Yataroa, that you're able to see others. On the other hand, it says, Bikadun Shalnachri is Asur. Why is Bikadun Shalnachri Asur? So the Gemara answer is that it's the Kabbal Achrayas. The difference is whether the Jew is Makabbal Achrayas on the Chametz of the Nachri or not. If he's Makabal Achrayas and the Nachri is over by Rabbi Yamatzeh, if he's not Makabal Achrayas, then he's not over by Rabbi Yamatzeh. The question is, what level of Achrayas do you need? And here you have a Machlokas Rishonim. Some Rishonim, Tosfos Bamitzia, talks about the Achrayas is to the level of Onsim. That you're Chayav even if an Ones happens to it. and such a, you know, on that level, that's already like, you know, that's a shoel. There you're dealing with bailus, levels of bailus. You know, that makes sense in that world. Other Rishonim say that a shomer chinam, but not even shomer sachar is one option, but even a shomer chinam, even you're only chayiv on pshia, that's still enough to be chayiv and bayra by a matzei. So you have the case. You have a non-Jew comes over to you and says, "Listen, I want to get on the wagon, off the wagon. I don't know. Here's a basket of whiskey. Here's my bottles of whiskey. You know, hold it for me. You know, just do me a favor. So you have it. You don't own it. You can't drink it. You can't do anything with it. But yet, you're shomer chinam. But yet, you'd be over by Rabbi Amatze if you have it. Why? So again, it fits very well. If it's ownership, it doesn't make so much sense. But if it's in the area of your responsibility to it, you know, your relationship to it, so that's a different, you know, that factor is sufficient in order to define you the Baal HaChametz in respect to Bayra and Baal Matze. Rosenzweig suggested in fact, that also could tie into the Rambam, clearly, like Rashi, talks about Bittul B'Leiv, as Tashbisu and for Bayra Baal Matze. And the Rambam, interestingly, as Bayra Baal Matze, is two separate mitzvot. So it's two separate mitzvot lo tase. Right? The other monah mitzvot, smach, sefer chinuch, yireim has it as one. Normally you would think that it would be one because it's all overlapping, and as the Gemara says, it's overlapping. The Rambam listed as two. But he listed as two, but he says that each one triggers the other, meaning you can't have one without the other. If you violate one, then you violate the other. So it's a very unusual double. Like, why would you list this twice if you can violate one without the other? There's not going to be enough gemina between them. So Rabbi Rosenzweig suggested that actually each one could relate to a greater theme. I mean, these are two ways of reaching the greater theme, whether it's an ownership way, ownership itself is a factor. You know, it's ownership or some other layer of responsibility that you have to it. Bayimatze, I think you remember correctly, said was ownership, and Bayira is other kinds of relation, responsibility towards it. But both of them point to a greater theme of zika, of the shaychus that you have to the chametz, and there are two vehicles, there are two ways of getting to something large. You know, obviously, you know, you need a combination of factors. You know, it's not, you can't walk into a non-Jew's house and say, "Oh, I like that whiskey," and all of a sudden you're over and buy your Rabbi Amatze. Meaning it has to be something in your rishus too. Meaning there's a convergence of factors that the halacha will consider to decide whether you're the Baal HaChametz in respect to Bayra Baal Matzei or not. You know, and that's a lot of so many of the sugyos, you know, whether it's not the guy, it's a Jew who gives it to you, or whether you're giving it to a Jew, and if he's Musar or not Musar, as Rav Shechter was saying, I mean, all these factors will come into the equation to determine, you know, who's the Baal HaChametz and not. It's very similar to Baal HaBor in that sense. You know, it's very similar to Nezikin and the bailus of Nezikin, and you know, but Shemazik and who's chayiv it and who's the baal of it as a similar theme, which, you know, obviously fits well into the brisos. The upshot is that with all these factors, the surprising one is your intention, your attitude, that even your attitude affects whether it's considered chametz to be over and bayra baal matzei. That even your attitude can affect it. That if to you it's afer ve'efer, then your attitude is sufficient to cut it off as chametz, you know, from your perspective, or bayra baal matzei. The most extreme version of this, of course, is the Havamina in the Sefer HaMechtam, that one can, after bitzel, one can even eat the chametz. That it's no longer, it's not even chametz. because you're mavatal, it's offer of efer to you. And he rejects it, and of course, a lot of reasons to reject that. But the whole idea that your attitude defines or is a fundamental factor in defining chametz on Pesach, you know, is surprising and crucial. And it's for this reason that I wanted to open up the Zman with this idea. First of all, you know, there's so many sugyos in the beginning of Masecha that relate to this. Again, the competing bailus, the relationship between bittul and beer, and which chametz are chayav in or not. I mean, a lot of sugyos that relate with this yisod is important to understand, and that's itself enough to open up this Zman. But specifically, when it comes to this year, which begins in such a peculiar way, this year when we know that we're faced with challenges over the course of the year because of coronavirus, I think that the message that emerges from this is poignant. You know, Pesach comes with it a series of mitzvot that seem very objective. You have chametz, you have matzah, you have carbon Pesach, and these are very real, very tangible objects. And yet, your kavana, your intent, the way your attitude actually is defining. You know, when it comes to carbon Pesach and all the unique aspects of Lishma for carbon Pesach, when it comes to matzah and the shmira and Lishma, then it's not just matzah's arrested development of chametz, but there's an intent that needs to be brought in. There's a Lishma that creates the matzah. And even chametz is defined by your intent and by your attitude towards it. Things that seem so objective facts are determined in part by your attitude. In a holiday that celebrates chayrus, freedom, there's an implicit lesson that so much is dependent on you and your mindset. You know, and I was reminded in thinking about this of Viktor Frankl's famous book, Man's Search for Meaning, and how he talks about how in his experience in the concentration camps, he saw that in the camps that there were inmates who sank under the horrible circumstances, and some who rose like angels, who would share their small morsel of bread with someone more sick, more weak, or more in need. That there's a gap, he said, between stimulus and response. And in that gap lies the person. That we cannot control our circumstances, but we control our response to our circumstances. The freedom, I would suggest the Pesach is teaching us, is not just an external circumstance. It's a mindset, and it's an orientation towards life. Even the very chametz, the very bread with the same molecules, appearance, and taste of bread, is no longer bread if you do not think it's so. And I say this specifically this year, more than any other year, for we have challenges ahead of us. We don't even know what they are, but we know that they will come. Coronavirus will not end suddenly, will not turn off like a switch. It will come and go in waves, at different times and at different places. This is our reality. The question is, what will be our response? And Moshe says to Am Yisrael, Yenei Anochi noten lefnechem hayom bracha uklala. Behold, I put before you today a blessing and a curse. Homiletically, I would say hayom, what Moshe is saying. It's not just in the Midbar, but today, that every day there are blessings and there are curses. That is life. There are challenges and there are opportunities. And the question for us is, what do we choose to focus on? what will be our mentality? Will we be cynical or generous? Will we focus on what we have or what we lack, on the disadvantages or the opportunities? This is not determined by circumstances. It's determined by you. You define the chametz. You define the matzah. You define how you will respond to the circumstances around you. And it's especially with the worldview of ours, of incredible, enormous bitachon in Hashem. Not that everything is going to be easy, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu is with us all throughout this time, supporting us, hearing our tefillot, and caring for us all throughout this time. It's with the comfort of knowing that we're walking through this together, chaverim, together, together with your rabbeim, together with those that are close to you, that we develop the strength and character to find and choose the bracha in this. And this is at the heart of a crucial lesson this year, which is resilience. I've said this before, I'll say it now, I'll say it all throughout the year. This is going to be the most important educational year of your lives. Because character is formed during times of adversity. Now is the time to tap into the great wisdom and care of your rabbeim and teachers, to form supportive and caring connections with your chaverim and peers, to learn the lessons and have the experiences that will help define and shape the kind of person you will become. This year is crucial, and so much of it is going to be about your attitude towards it. I said before, Yeshiva University educates the leaders of tomorrow. How you experience this year will go a long way in shaping who you will become tomorrow. And that's why this year is so special for all of us here, because we know how important it is. And that's why all your rabbeim, with such ava, with such love, I can't tell you the joy that they want to be with you virtually, physically. We're now creating bate midrash that you know, people could be in person when it's possible, as things are better in New York now, so we could turn the dimmer lower, higher, or lower, I don't remember my own metaphor, and be some in person, like the cheshek, the desire to teach and to connect and to be with their talmidim, it's inspiring. I've been so inspired by the Rosh Yeshiva, by the rabbeim, by the faculty, by everybody at Yeshiva University, and by the talmidim, who just want to learn. I want to be together, and they're running to a Beit Midrash, of course, with safety and masks and social distance. They're running with social distancing, but running together, it's so inspiring, right? And this year, there are going to be so many of these lessons. They're so important to what we're going to be in life. So I just wanted to open with those, this mind, with these words. It fits. It's what Masechet Pesachim, what it's about and what this year is going to be about. And I personally look forward to walking this journey together with you, and this will prove to be an incredible year ahead. So welcome, and Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue to learn together in the weeks, months, and years ahead. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. Looking forward to this real start of the Zman tomorrow with morning Seder and classes and the Kenneth is 11:45. Thank you very much to Rav Schefter. Thank you very much to President Berman for all those words of Torah, Chizuk. A good evening, everyone.